Our next guest is booting out Jim Zorn. This is unbelievable. A good friend of his, formerly with the Seattle Seahawks, now the general manager of the Green Bay Packers. We're talking about Ted Thompson. This is good stuff, Gil.
Hey, Ted's not booting him out. Ted's just trying to set up a little deal so he can trade down and pick up some extra draft picks.
That's what this is, huh? A little maneuvering.
Okay.
How you doing, Ted?
Already. I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Hey, doing outstanding. Hey, a lot of change this offseason in Green Bay. Some new coaches, new defensive system coming in. Can you talk a little bit about what spurred those changes?
Well, it's just, you know, we didn't do as well as we wanted to this year. We didn't do as well as we think we should have. We're looking to be able to put a little bit more pressure on the opposing team's offense. And we felt like with a move to the 34 that this would give us that flexibility to maybe be able to do that. But it was a tough time because it means you have to let people go that are good people and good men and have families.
I want to ask you about that, the switch to the 3-4 from a couple different standpoints. Number one, Aaron Kampman. And I guess it's interesting because Julius Peppers has talked about how he wants to be a 3-4 defensive end. You know, ideally that's the thing that he'd like to do with his career right now. Can you talk about what traits you think Aaron has that would make him be able to make a successful transition? And number two, the challenges when it comes to being here at the Combine and scouting those defensive ends, those college defensive ends, and whether or not some of them are going to be able to make that switch to outside linebacker.
And projecting them and doing all those sort of things. Sure. In terms specifically with Aaron, we think he has tremendous ability to change his quickness into power, which is one of the main things that you're looking for from the 34 spot, because whether it's a tackle or whether the offensive running back is turning out on you, you want to turn your speed into power. We think he can do that. In terms of the dropping and things like that, Aaron's going to be – he's a better athlete than everybody always ascribes to him to be an overachiever. I think he's a better football player, a better athlete than that. He's looking forward to it. He's excited about it, and we are too.
How about projecting here on these outside linebacker defensive end types, trying to find him? Is that one of the tougher challenges that you face?
It is to some degree, but I think you wind up going back and you watch tape and you say, okay, who's a good football player? Because once you're through all the other stuff, it's who's the good football player? I mean, it doesn't take a genius to say, watched Michigan tape from 3 years ago or whenever it was and watch Lamar Woodley and watch him come off the ball and do things. And even though maybe he's not a prototypical 34 guy, maybe he's not as tall as some of those guys need to be and all that, you knew he was a good football player. So I think if you stick to that, you're probably better off.
Well, you've always been an advocate of taking the best player available.
I am.
And you know, Woodley is a great example of that. If you evaluated Woodley through the year, he was a 3-year starter, 3.5-year starter mm-hmm. in Michigan, and then he falls to the second round.
Yeah,
that's hard to understand sometimes. But if you can find a Woodley, you're in great shape.
And quite frankly, you know, one of the good things about the 34 is it opens up avenues for guys that maybe aren't a perfect fit for a 4-3, even though. Like Gil says, I think Lamar Woodley, you have him on your team, you'll figure out a way to use him, and he'll be a good player for you.
What about A.J. Hawk? How does he fit into what you're going to do with the 3-4?
We think it's going to be a good fit for him. It's going to allow those guys to be a little more decisive in coming downhill and scraping and doing those things. I think it's going to be good for him and Nick Barnett.
Would A.J. be an inside guy?
We're kind of looking at him and Nick as our two inside guys right now.
And what about the defensive line? How do you see that shaping out? Do you need a nose, or do you think you have one on your roster?
Well, we have Ryan Pickett, who I think is a very good football player, and I think he's, I spoke with some of his people yesterday, and he's very excited about this. He's talked to several guys like Sean Rogers and Vince Wilfork and guys like that, and he's all gung-ho about it.
The 3-4, and actually, how many teams in the NFC play it? Nobody plays it in your division, do they?
No, they don't.
I think that does give you a little bit of an advantage because they don't see it all the time, and when they do see it, it's new to them.
Yeah, I talked to Wade a little bit about this down at the Senior Bowl because he's always been a 34 guy. His dad was a 34 guy, and that's what I played. You know, we think there's some advantages to it. At the end of the day, though, it's still football players being football players. If you slide a guy around in a 4-3, then you really turn it an under defense is a 34 for all practical purposes. But, in fact, he said just imagine if you even have the hand down or the hand up. That's the difference between a 34 and non-34. But then you go into sub-packages, and you're playing a four-man front all the time anyway. So I think sometimes much too much is made of it, but we're going to try to do some stuff.
I got you.
Aaron Rodgers, pleasant surprise?
I was fairly convinced that Aaron's going to be a good player. I thought he held up very well this year under some difficult circumstances. Again, we didn't win enough games, and that's the team's fault. That's my responsibility. But I thought he played well. I thought he handled himself well. I thought he was a good teammate and accountable to his guys in the locker room. And I think he's going to be a good player going forward.
And you've got three pretty good young quarterbacks, haven't you?
We like our group. We do. We like our group quite a bit. Those the two young guys, you know, I think the first part of the season they were walking around with their ball caps on and their clipboards and thinking they're, you know, they're just going to get to sit over there. And then we went to Tampa, I think it was the fourth game of the season, and Aaron got banged up a little bit. And then all of a sudden those two guys realized they were one play away. So you would have been surprised to see the advancement of their play during the course of the next 6 or 7 weeks.
You know, there's a quarterback in this draft, and I know you're probably not looking at quarterbacks right now too closely, but Rhett Bomar, kid who transferred obviously from Oklahoma to Sam Houston State. You get a chance to look at him, and what are your thoughts on this young man?
Yeah, he was at one of the All-Star games, and we've watched a little tape on him. It looks like he's got, you know, all the physical skills that you're looking for. I haven't watched him enough to really be able to tell what I think of him as a football player, but I've watched him throw the ball, all that stuff, his stature, his height, size, and all that looks good.
You know, he talked about being at All-Star games, and Ted is at every All-Star game, whether it be the Cactus Bowl or whatever, and he's the first to arrive and the last to leave.
Well, in the Cactus Bowl's case, they have really good Mexican food down there in Kingsville, Texas. I don't get good Mexican food in Green Bay.
No, and I got food poisoning from a Mongolian restaurant up there, but we'll not even go in that direction.
Yeah, that's a whole other story.
Yeah, that's another story. Hey, I want to ask you about your couple free agents you have coming up, Mark Tauscher, Mike Montgomery, and as a restricted free agent, Atari Bigby. How optimistic are you of being able to work out some long-term deals with these guys?
Well, we're working at it. We haven't had any success so far. In Mark Tauscher's case, he's obviously a longtime starter for us, you know, a pillar of our team. The questions regarding him regard more about the medical side, and that's the thing that we're going to have to get past before we be able to go further in that. In terms of Mike Montgomery, I think he wants to test the market a little bit, and that's fine with us. We're going to try to stay involved in the conversations, and hopefully something gets worked out. With Atari, he'll be a restricted free agent. I wouldn't anticipate us getting a deal prior to that, but he would be a restricted free agent.
Gotcha. Hey, I wanted to ask you, too, about the Packers in free agency. You know, you do take your strikes. Charles Woodson, a tremendous signing a couple years ago. You do find players in free agency. You just don't sign a ton of players in free agency. Is that philosophy going to change this offseason?
No, I wouldn't think so. In terms of the numbers, I never know. We're going to talk to guys that we're interested in and we think it'd be a good addition to our team. At the same time, we understand that free agency comes with a cost, especially in this new day and age and new CBA and all that. If you sign one of these players, we're going to have an extraordinary number of players graduating this time next year. And we're going to try to spend a lot of energy and a lot of capital, quite frankly, trying to re-sign those guys. If you go out and sign a free agent, which we would like to do, you know, there's a couple that we would like to do some stuff with. If you do that, you know you're doing it with a cost.
Historically, re-sign your own.
Yep. Ron felt this way very strongly. You know, even though we signed Reggie White, and, you know, there's no Reggie Whites out there to sign, by the way. But if you, as long as you do a good job of identifying the core players on your own team, which is the first thing you got to do in personnel, is make sure you know your own players. But if you identify those guys and try to keep those core guys you want going forward, your odds and percentages go way up.
Ted, just want to ask you this real quick, too. Look, obviously Brett Favre retires last week. I'm just wondering how happy, I guess, are you that maybe this is now over? Like, basically, that you don't have to deal with this really pretty much after this spring. I mean, basically, this is a new time, not only, you know, for the Green Bay Packers, because there was a cloud that hung over your franchise. I was in Green Bay last preseason, and it was a distraction. It was a little bit messy. How happy are you now that this is all said and done?
Well, I mean, it was a difficult time, and I haven't commented too much on that. I don't think it's really appropriate for me to, but I will say say this, like we've always said, we congratulate Brett. He's a great player. He means the world to the Green Bay Packers, and we salute him in his retirement.
Alex, it all comes up April 26th when his third round pick that he got for Brett Favre. Everybody's going to wonder who was traded for Brett Favre.
Is this going to be the trade tree thing? Where like the John Elway trade where that thing lived on forever?
They'll follow that guy forever.
That's the deal.
Excellent. Well, hey, Ted, thank you so much for joining us. It's great to talk to you again, and have a great combine.
Thanks a lot, fellas. Thanks, you guys have a good day.
Thank you. Green Bay Packers general manager Ted Thompson joining us here in the Red Zone.